Who can know? Who can understand how it is for God to become a man and live among us and be like us? Let's pray together. We thank you, Lord, that that's what you did. You came to live among us, and this story of a man who received his sight comes to us this morning, reminding us again that you care for each of us and all of us so much that you gave your life for us. Amen. Many of us will know the story of blind Bartimaeus. And the setting for this incident, and it's important, I think, to understand this, the setting for this incident is only a week before Jesus will be killed. He knows that, we know that, but the disciples and the people travelling with him didn't know that. In Mark's account, we see Jesus walking along the dusty road on the way to his destiny. He knows it alone, and he's accompanied by a large group of people. Just to put this in context, there's a map you can see here, and you can see Jericho and Jerusalem, not very far apart, about 20 kilometres. So in those days, about a day's walk, depending on the crowds and the terrain and so on. So it's close. It's close to Jerusalem, it's close to his destiny, and Jericho is a very famous historic city, as we know. Jesus is walking along this dusty road, accompanied by a large crowd, the scriptures say, among whom are the 12 disciples and some of his critics and enemies as well. It's a whole group just travelling together on the way to Jerusalem, because we know that in Jerusalem there was a special festival coming on that Passover time. People were gathering for a very significant event, which was the festivals at that time. On the way, Jesus speaks and teaches them about the coming kingdom of God. And this is what's recorded in Mark's account of this time. Jesus says to them, "Unless you come as an innocent, believing child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God." And he says to them, "Humility and service will mark out those who wish to be leaders in the coming kingdom." Humility and service. The kingdom of God. What a word that was. Everyone was waiting for that, and they've been waiting a long time. And now the king was here. This man walking amongst us, leading us into Jerusalem, is the king. This will be celebrated in a very short period of time on the date we recollect and talk about as Palm Sunday, when people said, "Hosanna, praise to the King who's come." Jesus riding on a donkey into Jerusalem on that day. The healing of Bartimaeus comes in the context of three specific requests by people that's carefully recorded in Mark's Gospel that leads with the words that Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" These are the three events recorded in Mark's account. The first of them is the rich, righteous young man doing everything right according to the rules, but the love of money controls him. The Lord's response to him astonishes the disciples, because they say, "If he can't get into heaven, who can?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "With this man it's impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Jesus said to the rich young man who he came to and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And we recollect the story. As they walk further along the road, the Lord speaks for a second time about his coming betrayal and his death and suffering and then his resurrection. But they had no frame of reference. They could not understand what he was talking about at that time. However, they've got their own ideas, and as they walk along in a crowd, James and John have a plan. They want to run past the boss. He's the king after all. That's what we know. That's what he said. It's coming. So, how to be in charge in the coming kingdom of God? They've got a bit of an idea. Again, the words, "What do you want me to do for you?" when James and John come to him. Well, they said, we'd like to sit at the right hand and at the left, being in charge in the kingdom. You recollect that particular time. When Jesus hears their request, he says, "You don't know what you're asking for. You don't understand what this is all about." Service and humility will be the marks of people who lead in this coming kingdom, not power and glory and position. And finally, as they travel along, the crowd is going in the dusty road. There's a blind man. In fact, there's two. The blind man, we've just heard the words, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus says for the third time. And that's where this story comes. The blind beggar, actually there were two, according to Mark and Matthew's account, but we only read in Mark's account about Bartimaeus. One of them is Bartimaeus, and the word means the son of Timaeus. Now, there is an ancient tradition that this man's father was also blind, and so it may have been an hereditary condition. It's just one of those old stories, that this man may have been blind from birth. You or I were to ask that man, a miracle worker was to ask him, "What do you want to do?" It's pretty obvious he's going to say, "I want to see. It's the only thing I want." But what does he call out? The words are very significant. "Son of David, have mercy on us. Son of David, have mercy on me." This is the first time anyone in the gospel account has given Jesus Christ that name, Son of David. It's a very significant term to those people who were waiting for the king who was coming, who would be the Son of David. A man who could not see was the first one to recognize him in that scripture. See what they call out. For the third time, Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the man says, "I want to see." And the Lord heals him. Just like that. He heals him. Both of them, I think. Isaiah says that when the king comes, when the Messiah, who all people are waiting for, even today, people are still waiting for the Messiah, even though they don't know it. "What will we know him by?" Isaiah said, "The blind shall see, and the lame shall walk, and the dead will be raised again." Clearly, this was a sign, a signal that this was the Messiah. Son of David, Messiah, he's here. The scriptures are very clear about that. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus says on this third occasion. Just a note here about the miracles recorded in the gospel accounts. In the whole of the four gospels, there are 23 miracles recorded. They're chosen for very specific reasons. We know that Jesus healed a lot more than this, because other scriptures tell us that many of them are not recorded, and he healed all who came to them. But the ones that are recorded are for a reason. What's the reason for this one? There's more miracles that record the restoration of sight than any other thing. We know about the calming of the storm we heard in that song. We heard about the lame who walk, the blind, the deaf who hear, the dead who are raised. But five times, it's very significant, more miracles about receiving sight than any other particular thing. And the words that Jesus said to the son of Timaeus, Bartimaeus, of all the things Jesus said, this is what he said. "Go," he said, "your faith has healed you." Your faith has healed you. You know, in a few days' time, 2 or 3 days' time, there's another healing another blind man who receives his sight in the temple courtyard. And we read about that in John's account in chapter 11. This man is not named, but he's called upon. We recollect the story. "What do you want me to do for you?" Again, Jesus says in John's account, and this man says, "I want to see," and Jesus heals him. And then this is in the context of the scribes and the Pharisees mounting their attack on the Lord Jesus because they want to kill him. That's the context in the temple courts. How ironic is that? The king in his own temple, the Messiah in his own temple, they want to kill him. And a man receives his sight in the midst of all that. The Pharisees call him and say, "Who was it that did this to you?" And the man says, "Well, I couldn't see him, so I don't know. He healed me. I asked him to be healed, and he healed me." This man's words are very significant, and I often reflect on these. He says, "Once I was blind, now I see. Once I was blind, now I see." And he's talking to the people who are blind spiritually. The story about the son of Timaeus, Bartimaeus, is not simply another miracle that the Lord performed. It's about receiving spiritual and physical sight. Truly, the man in John said, "Once I was blind, but now I see." I remember the time when I was blind spiritually, but now I see. And many of us do. Seeing, sight, and believing are spoken about a lot in the scripture. But we're talking here about spiritual sight. Spiritual sight. And what does that mean? What do you recall what people said about Jesus when he was about to perform his last and greatest miracle? We're talking again about miracles here. Of the 23, the last and the greatest of them recorded in John's Gospel was the raising of Lazarus. And the words that people said, again, are so significant. They said, these were the people outside the tomb of a man who'd been dead for 3 days. 3 days it took. And they said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have healed this man?" Of all the things they chose to say, they said, "He could not, he who opened the eyes of the blind, have healed this man." Very significant. Why do some see and others don't? That's the great dilemma that we have. Those of us who try to reach our friends, our family, those we love, why can't they see? Why don't they see what we see? It's a perplexing problem. One of the clues is, Bartimaeus, the scripture says in this reading in Mark's account, he says, he threw off his cloak and ran to Jesus to receive when Jesus said, called him, and he threw off his cloak and ran. The book of Hebrews reminds us too to let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. And on receiving his sight, he followed Jesus. What are the things that hinder spiritual sight for us and for those that we love? Certainly money and possessions and ease and the culture that we live in. Very big hindrance to receiving Christ. You know, there's a saying, you'll all have heard it, seeing is believing. Well, that's true, kind of. Kind of true. If I explain to someone something very complicated, it may be how to do a particular knot with ropes, it may be how to do a piece of surgery, it's much easier if they see it and I explain and go through the process and then they practice it as well. They understand it and believe it can be done. In this gospel account, we read of men who saw all sorts of things that Jesus did and yet refused to believe the evidence of their own eyes. And in John's Gospel, the statement is made that's true as well. There are none so blind as those who will not see. None so blind as those who will not see. As I think about how this miracle applies to us, what is the Lord saying to us? When Jesus says to you and to me, what do you want me to do? What do we ask for? What do others see when they watch us? For people hear much better with their ears, with their eyes, I'm sorry. People hear much better with their eyes than they do with their ears. What people do matters a lot more than what they say in many times. What do our family, clients, friends, workmates see in us? Are we like Bartimaeus, following Jesus, having received that spiritual sight as well? The scriptures remind us that we walk by faith and not by sight, understanding that we will see that what we see and experience around us is not necessarily full reality. When we see obstacles and disappointments or fears, do we walk on in faith, trusting in the hand of God? Seeing is believing. The things that happen to us, that impact us in our lives, sometimes very significant things, we dwell on those and we don't understand that there's a bigger reality that's eternal. And it's very easy to sidestep that. We do need to walk by faith. Some of us have experienced vision loss, now restored, thankfully. And many of us have had that experience. And we're grateful for medical science and the attention to help us. Our sight is so precious to us. But so is spiritual sight, and there's no medicine for that. But often spiritual sight improves with age and experience. So that's something for us who have white hair to dwell on as well. Jesus loves us too, but our spiritual sight grows with age and doesn't diminish with age. What is spiritual sight? I think spiritual sight is seeing the spiritual reality of life and eternity around us, even when our vision is clouded by our circumstances of age, sickness, grief, worry, fear, loneliness, or financial stress. There's an old song that many of us will know. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Nought or be all else to me, save that thou art. Be thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence, my light. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. And finally, a scripture I'd like to leave with you, and it'll be on the screen at the end, from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on what is seen, but not what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Let's pray together. Help us to fix our eyes on Jesus, who changes not with the years and the days and the climate. Help us to fix our eyes on him and not be deceived by what we see or experience around us, but help us to see with spiritual eyes who you are and how we must also follow in faith, having received the sight of you, Jesus, our Saviour. Amen.